Welcome to Season 2 of Inflammation Nation. My name is Peter Boyd. Inflammation Nation is a podcast from Arthritis Ireland aimed at increasing awareness and understanding of arthritis and related conditions. Hello and you're very welcome to this latest episode of Inflammation Nation. I'm joined by Louise Reynolds, who's a registered dietitian and a communications manager at the Irish Nutrition and Dietetic Institute. Louise, you're very welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm delighted to be here. It's a bit of a mouthful, all right. Yeah, we call it INDI for short.
I think I should have started with that and that would have made it a lot easier for myself. First of all, I just want to kind of pick up on something there. You're a registered dietitian. We hear different words thrown around. There's dietitian, there's nutritionist. Yeah. I suppose there's an important differentiation between the two.
Yes, that's right. Well, a registered dietitian is the title has been registered. The name dietitian has been registered with CORU, which is a government agency, and that is really only in the last number of years, since about 2017 or 18. So if you are looking for a dietitian, you can check the register and make sure they are registered with CORU. And that is really to give the public protection, because a dietitian has clinical training as well as all of the nutrition science to be able to deal with people with a whole range of clinical conditions. Nutritionist, then, the title isn't protected, which is a little bit more confusing for people, because there are fabulous nutritionists who have studied really hard and really long time in college, but their title is not protected. So you could meet a nutritionist who is using that title and maybe doesn't have the same qualifications. So certainly in terms of dealing with a clinical condition such as arthritis, you know, if you are looking for nutrition information, do just check that you're going to a registered dietitian, just to make sure that you're getting, you know, the best scientific evidence and everything is kind of based on evidence, which is really important.
Yeah, that's the important thing, looking for that trustworthy evidence-based information.
And absolutely,
it's what we're all about within Arthritis Ireland as well, of course. So as you will have gathered from that introduction, we are talking about food, diet, and everything to do with that. And of course, it's links with arthritis. And I suppose everyone is looking for that
the magic bullet,
silver bullet that will take it away. Unfortunately, we're probably not going to get to that today.
No. That is the unfortunate thing. It would be great if a dietitian or I could be here today and say, listen, if you take these foods or if you eat this diet, you know, it's going to make a massive difference in terms of your flare-ups, in terms of your pain or management of your condition. Unfortunately, there isn't one arthritis diet. You know, there just isn't. So it's really about looking at, you know, a whole range of things and maybe picking a few things that will work for somebody or will help them to manage their symptoms, their flare-ups and so on. So it's unfortunately, no, I don't have that that magic answer today, Peter.
No, we wish you did. Yeah. I certainly wish you did, you know, living with it myself. But yeah. I suppose there are over 100 different types of arthritis, 200 types of musculoskeletal conditions. So to come up with one diet that works for everybody is going to be very difficult. But one thing I certainly hear a lot about and people talking about is the Mediterranean diet. And there are some encouraging signs around it and its benefits. Could you explain a little bit more about
that? Yes, definitely. And I think, you know, when we talk about the Mediterranean diet, nowadays in 2023, diets have become much more global. You know, we all can eat foods from so many different countries, and trends and from different foods and different diets have really kind of permeated every culture now. So we're lucky in that way that we have access to lots of different foods. But the Mediterranean diet, you know, traditionally is the type of foods that were eaten in the Mediterranean countries. So if you think back to maybe if you were lucky enough to have been on holidays in the last few years and somewhere sunny, you know, we're talking about colourful foods. You look at your plate, you see lots of colour, lots of fruit, lots of vegetables, fresh foods. So again, we're not talking about, you know, kind of takeaways and processed foods. We're really talking about fresh foods. The Mediterranean diet, also one of the main differences is the reliance on olive oil as the main source of fat in the diet in the Mediterranean countries. So olive oil is high in monounsaturated fat, which is beneficial for heart health and lots of other benefits in the diet. Again, a reliance on fish, you know, would be seen in the traditional Mediterranean diet. So these are, you know, people can probably build a picture in their minds of the type of diet. Of course, you might think of a glass of wine as well in there. So that's something that probably is traditionally part of the Mediterranean diet as well. But unfortunately, I can't give any advice about the perfect amount of alcohol, you know, certainly not for general healthy eating. But so the Mediterranean diet is really lots of colour, lots of vegetables, legumes as well, which are pulses, which these foods are really nutritious, really packed full of nutrition. And then probably fish, more fish in the diet, which In Ireland, even though we are an island, we don't have a great intake of fish, unfortunately. And that's something that I think everybody with or without arthritis in their life should really try and eat more fresh fish in their diet.
Yeah, it's definitely something that as a nation we don't do enough of is consume the fish that that's abundant around us and is there for all of us to enjoy. And it is something that we can do. Where would we find that kind of information to be able to take that Mediterranean diet or those kind of foods on board?
Well, I think really, so an overall Mediterranean diet is really general healthy eating as well. So you can, you know, if people want to go and see a registered dietitian, if they have queries about their diet, but also you can check out, I know that you have a healthy eating booklet on the Arthritis Ireland website, also on the INDI website, indi.ie. We have lots of fact sheets in there as well around different, you know, small changes that people can make. And the other thing we're thinking of as well is, you know, when you look at your plate, try and see, is half of my plate either fruit or vegetables? So that's a kind of a quick thing, a visual thing that people can do. So when you look at your plate, you know, you might need to tweak the amounts of different foods that you're having. So it doesn't mean that you have to radically change everything. But at the moment, if you kind of have a very, you know, lots of meat and maybe lots of pasta on your plate, and maybe just kind of a little bit of vegetables, change that. Maybe have half of the plate vegetables. So whatever vegetables you like, whether it's a big salad or whether it's, you know, carrot or broccoli, it doesn't really matter. You know, and then on the other side of your plate, have your, maybe your pasta, which in this case, and your meat sauce, or it could be potatoes or rice, whatever the carbohydrate is, and then the protein source, which would be the meat or fish or chicken. So again, it's about the balance, and maybe you need to just kind of have a look and say, right, we need to get more fruit and vegetables in there. We know the recommendations are now, everybody has heard of 5 a day. In fact, it's now gone up to 7 portions a day are the recommended amounts of fruit and vegetables. And I, you know for a fact that probably a lot of listeners now are thinking, oh, I didn't quite hit 7, because we know in Ireland that we're not getting enough fruit and vegetables. The last survey showed that on average, we're getting between 2 to 3 portions a day. So even if you can, if you're at 2 or 3 and you go up to 4 or 5, that's a really positive change that you can make to your diet. And keep, you know, getting up there to the 7 portions a day. So the reason for that is fruits and vegetables are packed full of nutrition, fiber. They're low in calories. They can also help weight management. And that's something else that we might talk about as well, that it can be really useful.
Yeah, because it really is important to look at weight management, because the pressure that's put through the joints, the for people living with arthritis, that extra strain and pain that can cause.
Yeah.
I suppose if we can get a more balanced diet, a healthier diet, that will help, I assume, with weight management.
Absolutely. Now, you know, it's easier said than done. And I think we need to really acknowledge the fact that it's not that easy. You know, you can't just click your fingers and say, oh, I'm going to lose that stone. It's difficult. But small changes can help. And things like having a look at your diet, having a look at your lifestyle, over time, you know, we're not talking about crash dieting, because we know that doesn't work. You know, people end up maybe just getting back to where they were and maybe even putting on more weight again. So it really is about doing what you can manage. And you have to, you know, as well, if you're having a flare up, if you're in pain, it's not so easy to go out and take more exercise, or to, you know, prepare really healthy meals if you're not feeling well at the time. So I think it's important to acknowledge that it can be difficult, but it is an important consideration. And as you mentioned, the more weight that's on our joints, that's going to put extra pressure on them and wear and tear as well. So in terms of weight management, fruit and vegetables, fill up with fruit and veg. You know, there's lots of reasons that we should. So for breakfast time, you know, if you're having something like a porridge, which again is, you know, full of soluble fiber, you can put milk on it, you're going to get your calcium there. And then adding some berries, or maybe having some wholemeal bread in the morning, adding a banana onto that. So having banana on your toast, adding, you know, maybe chopping up some fruit in the morning. So an apple and a banana and, you know, a bit of an orange, chop those up with a bit of yogurt on them. So there's small things that you can do to increase the amount of fruit. And then vegetables, again, lunchtime, having some vegetables there, snacking on vegetables, you know, have some carrot sticks. Now, again, we need to acknowledge it's a lot of this I'm talking about chopping and cutting, and that might not always be that easy if somebody is living with arthritis. So, you know, take shortcuts when you can, you know, kind of, you can buy now battens of carrots, you can buy vegetables pre-chopped and have those in the freezer. You're going to pay a little bit more for them, But I think if you find that it's difficult to chop vegetables, if it's difficult to, you know, kind of get around the kitchen as much, if you are, you know, impaired by your arthritis, it's definitely, I think it's money well spent, you know, to buy the little pre-prepared kind of the little tricks and tips that you can do. You can have, you can buy chopped peppers, you can buy chopped onions. You know, I've seen them in the freezer compartment and, you know, they're handy to have there. It just means it's saving those extra few minutes for somebody if you're kind of rushing in from work. But also if you are finding it hard to manage, you know, a knife and chopping, it can be a lifesaver to have them and just throw them into your dinner, you know, yeah, if you're cooking.
Because people can be in constant pain or a lot of pain on a regular basis, but also with them when they're, if they're having a flare or they're having a particularly bad day, they yeah, might need to have a look at what's in the freezer or what's there already that's pre-chopped for them. And it kind of comes down to planning and pacing. These are things that we do with our self-management courses and things. And these are benefits as well to lifestyle and diet. Really,
yeah, and I think for people to avail of anything like that, the self-management courses are fantastic. You know, so it's, people have access to these, you know, talking, hearing from people who have kind of come across a whole range of different scenarios, particularly if you're new to a condition. If you get a diagnosis, it can be quite, you know, worrying and the fear of the unknown and you don't quite know what to expect, really. And I think speaking to somebody who is an expert in that area or somebody who's living with that condition can really just put your mind at ease. And they're the kind of opportunities that people have with those self-management courses, which I think are absolutely great to avail of as much as possible. So great idea.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, you're talking not only about preparation of buying food that's already chopped, but you're also then maybe getting away from having to go for that takeaway when you're feeling tired or sore and in pain.
Exactly. And, you know, we've all been there. You know, if you haven't planned, that's what's that saying? You know, if you fail to prepare to fail. So, you know, it's kind of one of the things we hear all the time, and it's hard for everybody to do it. But if you make a shopping list, if you plan a couple of meals in the week, you know, for example, maybe if you're going to have a bolognese on a Monday, make a bit extra. On the Tuesday, you have that maybe a third of a bolognese sauce left over. Add in a few tins of kidney beans, maybe some lentils, add in some chili spices, a bit of fresh chili, and then you can have some wraps and you can make burritos the next day. So you've actually done all the hard work on the Monday and you've really got meals for 2 days. So that's the kind of thing that really works well for people. Just because we all get tired having to think of, you know, new meals to cook every day. And then again, if you're just cooking for yourself, I think that can be hard as well to have the motivation to kind of cook a whole, you know, dinner or trying to keep a healthy meal kind of on the plate. It's easier sometimes just to get a ready meal or you know, kind of dial in for a takeaway. So planning a little bit in advance. And I think in terms of vegetables, because fresh fruit and vegetables don't always last, if you overbuy them and then you're throwing them out, that's not very sustainable either. So that's where the frozen, really handy frozen fruit as well. So you can maybe, you know, add them into a dish that you're cooking. You can throw them in to make a crumble or something, adding in lots of fresh berries that are frozen berries, I should say. So there's kind of ways that you can increase your intake of fruit and vegetables, having them there in the house. Tinned as well is a great idea. Tinned beans, you know, baked beans on toast is really nutritious, high in protein, high in soluble fiber, low in fat. So don't ever worry if all you have in the house is beans on toast.
Yeah, back to the student days, but yes, there's nothing wrong with it,
absolutely,
really, is there?
Yeah. No, there really isn't. Or another one that's really handy is, which I know goes down well in our house with my teenagers, is baked potatoes with baked beans on top. So if you can, you know, during the day, you can throw potatoes into the oven, forget about them. They're baking away there, very little preparation. And then beans on top, or you could make, you know, if you had like that, some bolognese left over that can be put on top. But that's something that is kind of easy to do. And all you have to do is put in the potatoes and then open a tin of baked beans. So that's a kind of a handy one as well if people are short on time and just, you know, want to kind of have something nutritious rather than picking up the phone and dialing, which is nice as well from time to time. But, you know, if you are someone who's worrying about, you know, keeping an eye on weight, it's probably not something to do that often.
Yeah, and you always want to keep an eye on these things. And they do take time, though, as well, because people will struggle with motivation and adhering to these things that they want, changes they want to make. So it's important not to lose heart as well.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, you need to be kind to yourself, you know, particularly if you're living with a diagnosis that has an impact on your life. Also, we know that it's hard to change our behaviour. There are lots of behaviour change kind of courses, and because it's not that easy, you know. If it was easy, everybody could just, you know, make all these kind of quick changes. But we know it's not easy to make changes. In fact, a lot of research has shown that it can take up to 21 days, which is 3 weeks, to get used to or to adhere to a new habit. So for a new habit to really become something that you've built into your lifestyle. So if it's something, you know, you want to try and build in more exercise, because we know exercise has huge benefits. Again, it's going to depend on what you're able for at whatever stage you're at. But whatever it is, if you can get outside, fresh air, with a friend, on your own, with your dog, you know, that's really good for your head as well. Mm-hmm. So to try and build that into your lifestyle, and starting small, it doesn't have to be buying any special equipment or anything else, but just to get out in the fresh air, particularly when the days are getting a little bit brighter. You know, it's something that we can all kind of build into our lifestyle. So just remember, it can take up to 3 weeks, to form a new habit, but it's definitely worth aiming for.
Worth aiming for at that stage. And we've talked about adding things in, and we've talked about increasing the fruit and veg, but is there any evidence around exclusion or taking things out of diets? You know, we would hear sometimes people asking questions around, you know, either sugar or dairy products even. You know, is there any evidence or any scientific basis for any of these suggestions?
Yeah. Again, we're back to the, unfortunately, there isn't one diet for arthritis. And really, there isn't any evidence, certainly behind cutting dairy out of your diet. And the reason I'd really, you know, highlight that is because, in fact, the dairy foods, so we're talking about milk, cheese and yogurt here, not butter and cream, because they don't contain the same range of nutrients. They don't have the calcium that is really important. But a lot of, particularly with medications that people may need to take when they have arthritis, their bone health is something that they really need to be aware of. So having dairy foods in your diet is a really great way to ensure that you're getting that calcium. So the current guidelines are for adults, it's 3 servings a day from the milk, cheese or yogurt group, so from the dairy shelf. So if you cut those foods out, it can be really difficult to get enough calcium elsewhere. Also, it's really good to know that if you want to go for the low-fat version, so for example, if you are keeping an eye on your weight and you think, well, I'm going to go for a low-fat milk in your diet, it still contains the same amount of calcium.
So that's very interesting, Louise. I would have gone for the low-fat options myself. I wouldn't have even considered that they would have the same calcium intake.
Yeah, they do, which is great to know that they have the same amount of calcium. So you're not losing out by choosing the low-fat option if that's what you want to go for. Also, there are some fortified products now as well. So there's fortified milks on the market, and they actually have added vitamin D in them as well. That can also help bone health. So we can, you know, there's another reason as well, if you want to make sure that you're kind of getting those extra nutrients that you need. So it's definitely something I would definitely not cut out a whole food group. You know, in terms of, we hear different foods, oh, this affected my arthritis and I felt better when I cut this out. It really is trial and error for people. There's no one food that I can say is going to radically improve symptoms for everybody. So I think it's probably worth maybe keeping a food diary.
Okay, so yeah, that would be something that people could do to see if there's any improvement, or it maybe, and is it important when you're doing that to do it maybe one at a time so you can see what impact it's having rather than doing two or three at the same time?
Yeah, well, I think even if you just had a little notebook in the kitchen, because sometimes, you know, by the time you get to write it down, you forget what you've had during the day. But even if somebody did want to, if they thought, oh, I wonder now, did I have a flare up because of a food? Now, again, in a lot of cases, it's unrelated to diet. I think it's really important to say that as well. But if you have a diary and just write down, you know, kind of in the kitchen, it's probably the handiest place to have it, jot down what you had to eat that day. And then you can, you know, look back and say, oh, well, actually, I had that particular food. And maybe then you can take it out and see if the symptoms improve. If they don't improve, then it wasn't that food. So, you know, you can put that back in your diet. What's really important is, I think if somebody is going to be taking foods in and out of their diet, do have a chat with a registered dietitian, because what we find a lot is that people go down the path of, I read that on Instagram, or I heard somebody on Facebook talking about that. And all of a sudden, if you're cutting all of these things out of your diet, you could end up with a very restrictive diet, a very boring diet, and that's not going to give you much joy in your life. And we all know food is a source of pleasure and joy. We like to eat with our families and we want to eat well and keep our health, you know, keep well and keep ourselves healthy with good food. So I really would say, if you have a concern or you think a food might be involved in some way, the next time you're at a hospital appointment, have a chat with your GP, have a chat with your doctor there. Maybe if you're going to the GP, ask about going to see a registered dietitian. Maybe you could see a dietitian in the hospital. Again, there are lots of other health and social care professionals who have fantastic support for somebody with arthritis, you know, in a team setting, whether it's the physiotherapist around exercise, the occupational therapist about modifying things in a certain way in your house. So do ask for help. But the food diary might be something to have. And then if you're going along, you can bring it with you and you can say, look, I did this for the last 3 weeks and you know, can you have a look at this?
Can you have
me?
A look at it? And I think it's important that we're open and honest with ourselves as well about what we're eating, because something that we're perhaps not very open and honest about is one of the other symptoms of our food and arthritis as well, which is to do with the bowel issues that can come along with it. And they're also vitally important that we keep an eye on discuss with our health professionals.
Yes,
as well.
Yeah. And I think people often laugh and say, well, dietitians love talking about bowel habits and, you know, have charts and show people, you know, well, show me out there, what did your bowel motions look like yesterday? And you know, that's not the normal kind of conversation. Nobody really wants to talk about that. But I would absolutely say, you know, your doctor is well used to talking about bowel habits, so yours are really no different to anybody else. But if you do notice changes, you definitely should mention that, you know. So certainly any bowel change that's going on for, you know, for more than 3 weeks to a month is definitely worth having a chat about and see, look, what is the cause of that? You know, it could be some medication. It could be that there's something else going on, but it's definitely worth getting it checked out. So don't be embarrassed.
Yeah,
you know?
Certainly with some of the more serious comorbidities that can go along with arthritis, like Crohn's and colitis and things like that, it's very important if you do notice those changes to get them checked out.
Absolutely, absolutely. And don't hesitate. And, you know, if you have any worries about it, you know, listen, doctors are hearing this. They're all the time, you know, every day. So don't worry about that.
There are, of course, other supplements that we hear about on the forum and through our helpline. One in particular in Ireland would be vitamin T deficiency, but also things like magnesium and turmeric. What are the evidence, or are there any studies being done on their efficacy?
Okay. Well, certainly there are so many supplements now, Peter. You know, when you walk into the pharmacy or the supermarket, we can see the shelves are growing all the time. So it's important that, firstly, have a look at what you are taking. Make sure that you're not overtaking. So for example, if you took three different supplements and it had the same amount of vitamin A, for example, in each, you could be taking too much. So that's the first thing. Just have a look at the label if you're having a couple of different supplements, like a multivitamin or whatever. Vitamin D, we know, is really, really important for bone health. And also for those with autoimmune conditions, there's really, you know, it's good evidence that you should be taking our vitamin D every day. So the guidelines now are that everybody in the Irish population should be taking a vitamin D supplement. And that's because vitamin D is activated by the action of sunlight on our skin. And because of where Ireland is, unfortunately, if we could just move ourselves down a little bit down the sea, a bit closer to the equator, we might get a bit more sunshine. But certainly between the months of October and March, they kind of say between Halloween and St. Patrick's Day is a kind of a good way to remember it. We definitely don't have enough sunlight to produce vitamin D. So that would be the first thing. Take a vitamin D supplement. It's really important for everybody. Again, I can't say that it's going to change your symptoms, unfortunately, but it's definitely something that we all should be taking throughout the year. Yeah, absolutely. And as we get older, we need even a higher dose. Okay, so it's 15 micrograms for somebody over the age of 65. So that's important to remember. Then you mentioned as well something, turmeric, which again often comes up. And there is some research. It's very early stages, but it does look exciting in terms of that there could be a benefit there. Again, the amount you need to take or anything like that, really, there isn't any kind of concrete evidence. But, you know, some people, if they can include it in cooking, or if they find it something that they can include in their diet, there's probably no harm once it's, you know, something that you find palatable and that you can you use in your diet. But again, no magic bullet there, unfortunately. Magnesium, you mentioned, that's receiving a lot of attention, particularly around sleep. So, you know, it can be something that we can certainly, you know, can be included in the diet. Whether or not it's something that we should all take, I don't know, think really that it's, you know, the evidence isn't there yet. But if it's, again, I would say, have a chat with your pharmacist. It might be a good idea the next time you go to your appointment with your doctor, bring along your supplements and say, look, this is what I'm taking. And is that, you know, okay? Or is there any interaction with your medications? All of these things need to be considered. And that's why as well, you know, if somebody was going to see a registered dietitian, to bring along your supplements, because a lot of things can be taken into account. Drug nutrient interactions, medications, how they might affect one nutrient over another. So there's a lot to take on board. So, you know, I would say just have a chat before you're taking too many supplements.
It's very important, as you say, to talk to somebody who knows this, rather than going off and doing your own search.
Or buying them online or anything like that. I'd be quite, you know, go into, if you're in your pharmacy, chat to the pharmacist. Like, they're, you know, very well versed on all of the new products that are coming out. And, you know, all of the time you might find that one has a few vitamins or minerals or nutrients in there. So therefore you don't need to take that somewhere else as well. Okay. So just to keep an eye on the overall amounts that you're taking every day. It doesn't, just because a small amount of something is good, it doesn't mean that more is better. Okay. So, you know, you can actually overdo it with certain supplements, and vitamin A is the one that I mentioned. And it is important that you just, you know, too much vitamin A can be stored in our liver and can cause problems down the line. So that's why we just kind of say, check what's in them, take the recommended dose, but don't take five different supplements that all have the same kind of things in them. So a little bit of homework. People need to get the labels out and do a bit of reading.
That's good. Great advice for everyone there. Finally, Louise, there's a huge amount of information out there about diet, about nutrition, and it's so difficult to know what's accurate and what's not. Where do we go? Speaking for myself first off, and then for everyone else that's listening, where do we go to find that reliable, accurate information about dietary concerns?
You know, it can be a bit overwhelming. It can be a little bit daunting, you know, to kind of say, oh, is this true, or should I try this? And I understand that people will be willing to try different things if they feel it's going to have a positive impact on their health. So definitely checking out, if you're going online, and we know that a lot of research has shown that it's one of the first places now Irish people go online to look up medical conditions is Dr. Google. So if you are going online, always check, you know, who's giving this advice? Where is it coming from? Is it coming from, you know, somebody who's trying to sell me something? Or is it coming from a reputable source? So when it comes to nutrition, always check that it's a registered dietitian. And again, we mentioned this at the beginning. A registered dietitian will have done at least 4.5 years in college, will have spent time on hospital wards with, you know, clinical conditions. And very often now in Ireland, they have a master's as well. So, you know, there's a lot of evidence behind what they're going to do in terms of looking after your health and your nutrition. So do check if it's on Instagram, who's this person? Is it a registered dietitian? You know, go to the website of Arthritis Ireland, lots of information there, which again, you know that it's reliable, and you can check there and see, okay, is there something new? Is it something that I need to be doing? Check out. And also the self-management courses are great. And also, you know, to reach out and ask questions. And then the INDI website I mentioned as well, which is indi.ie. And we have a lot of fact sheets there dealing with a whole range of other conditions, things like sports nutrition or nutrition for your children, or, you know, lots of, for all ages in the family. So that's certainly somewhere that you know that it's good nutrition information. So, you know, I think that it's important to look after your diet for everybody. Obviously, I'm a dietitian, so I'm interested in people eating well, enjoying their food, not cutting out things from their diet that they don't need to, you know, enjoying family meals with family and friends, and trying to keep yourself as healthy and as well as you can be. And particularly if you're living with a condition such as arthritis, you know, make sure that you're doing the best that you can for your health.
Well, on that upbeat note, I think there's nothing more that we can add to it today. Louise Reynolds, registered dietitian and communications manager at the INDI. Thanks so much for joining us on Inflammation Nation.
My pleasure. Thank you so much, Peter.
That's all from this episode of Inflammation Nation. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Stitcher, or as they always say, wherever you get your podcasts. For further information about arthritis, you can visit our website, arthritisireland.ie, or contact our helpline on 0818 252 846. See you next time. Inflammation Nation is supported by Pfizer.